Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is an official Chat and Shit disclaimer.
Yeah.
You might be listening to this thinking, oh my days, some of this sounds really dated because we're not in lockdown as much anymore.
It is.
Well, that's fine.
It's vintage.
Exactly. Some of it was recorded a little while back. Get over it.
So just play it. And if you don't like or you think, oh, that's wrong, skip it 15 seconds.
Just skip it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right, press play now.
You are now in tune to the Chat and Shit podcast. Guess what? Guess what? This is a podcast. And it's called Chatting Shit, boy.
Right, so basically, we're just doing a podcast, aren't we?
Yeah, should we do the intro you wrote down, or?
Yeah, I didn't write anything down. It's all free, it's all chilled out, don't
Yeah, exactly. It is free.
Yeah, it is probably free.
It's a podcast.
Exactly. It's Hugo Chegwin and Alan Mustafa, yeah. And it's a podcast.
Yes.
We can use that, innit?
That'll do, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, we've decided to do a podcast. Is it because we're in a pandemic, Hugo?
No, it's not.
Definitely not.
Couldn't care less.
Couldn't care. Well, I mean,
well,
you know.
Caring is a strong word.
Well, but exactly. Yeah. But
we thought of it ages ago. Yeah. And we couldn't be fucked. Not fucked, just didn't have time.
Yeah, because we're so busy.
Yeah.
Perfect time for it, really, isn't it?
It's basically about two mates chatting shit, really.
Yeah.
And we'll have guests.
Exactly, and then they'll probably turn into our best mates as well by the end of each show. So
Yeah, well,
they will. I mean, come on, with our charisma and charm.
Yeah.
Come on!
I'm Hugo Chegwin.
Yeah.
Is that your real name? Known from one thing only. People just do nothing.
Same.
Well,
two things now. Yeah. Everyone knows me as Sipa. Which isn't my real name. My real name is Alan Mustafa. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I use a nickname, so just get over it.
Yeah.
You quite enjoy me having a nickname, don't you?
Yeah, I like you explaining it to people. It's funny. They don't get it.
Why? What? Sleeper. Seabass. No, Sleeper. It's just shut up.
Oh, and they think it's really exotic.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're Rocky. Yes, I'm a Rocky. That's nothing to do with my name. On this first one, we're just going to chat to each other and interview each other. Are you happy with that, Hugo?
Yeah, more than happy.
Oh, good.
Well, that's what I love, people asking me questions
exactly.
About me.
All right, sweet.
This part of the show is a section where, you know, you people like to do it. I like to do it mainly at a dinner party or at the park. It's have a chat. Thank you.
Well, we've been best mates for like the last 12 years. Known for a little known BAFTA winning TV show called People to Do Nothing.
Yeah, that's all we're known for. So
yeah, cool. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Or not known, because people might be like, who are these guys?
Yeah. A niche underground comedy
Yeah.
that we're known for.
Award-winning, though. So this.
Well, yeah. Always, I mean, not a lot of things like that win awards, really, exactly, apart from quite a lot of other shows. But yeah, that's great. Yeah.
So it's just a pretty chilled out take on a podcast, isn't it? Really.
I mean, just zinging, zanging.
It's just zinging, zanging, riffing, roughing. Yeah.
Lasagna and sex.
It's just lasagna and sex, but it's not. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So obviously, it might sound shit, but that's all on purpose. We're more of a chilled out vibe, innit?
Yeah, it sounds shit because we don't know what we're doing.
No, we don't know what we're doing, but don't question it. Just roll with it.
And we're also doing it at our own houses.
Yeah, oh God,
on technology, which is cool.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out technology.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to start with you, Hugo, yeah? Where did it all start for you? Wanting to be, I don't know, a creative or a musician or an actor, like where did that all start for you?
I think it started living next door to Steve, I would say, was one of the...
And for anyone that doesn't know who you're talking about?
Steve Stamp from our TV show.
The one thing that everyone knows, that's some people know that's from. Yeah.
We just used to have jokes like most friends do, but I just felt something was special about it. And moving on, like not like sexual. Like it was really joke.
About him. Something was special about him.
Yeah.
Just like his eyes.
How
old were you then? There's a lot of things that I don't really know.
So I moved next to Steve in year 7. So however old you are in year 7, 11?
Like 11, 12. Yeah.
But it was like a natural growth of friendship because we used to get the train together to school. He was in a different class, but then slowly we'd hang out after school a lot more with him and his brothers. And it just felt jokes and he was special. And then I think getting jobs and like not really.
So the fact that you had to. So the prospect of having a normal job is what inspired you to not have a normal job.
Yeah, I just felt like I had more to offer. Which is arrogant.
I get it. But no,
I can't really do anything that well.
It's a form of laziness.
Yeah. It was born from laziness.
Yeah.
But that's how I went into it.
But creatively, your first, your first step into any of this was probably music, right?
Yeah, definitely. Music was an excuse to not do stuff and something I enjoyed. So that's where it started.
What was the first step? Was it DJing?
DJ, yeah, DJ. I got decks in when I was 13. And...
So that was Steve your first step, really?
Yeah, Dex.
And that's not Dix, just to check.
No.
In a different accent. Okay, yeah.
No, it's not a South African.
Dex? No, all that California girl. Dax.
Dix. I like Dix.
I like Os, which is ice in South Africa.
Can't
question it, yeah.
And Dix in South African is...
Is Dex.
No, Dix.
Oh, both then. Yeah, it's quite confusing if a DJ ever talks about sex in South Africa.
that's why they called them turntables when they were designing them.
South Africa's the only country in the world that doesn't refer to them as decks.
There's going to be a problem with this.
Yeah. And you call decks the skateboard, the part of the deck. They probably just call it the tent up wood. So when you first got decks, obviously we're not going through the whole of your history, but we're going through the whole of mine. So I'm just trying to get through yours quickly.
Yeah,
no, but when you first got decks, this is Pirate Radio times, right? I'm just referring because we're the same age.
Yeah, yeah, Pirate Radio era, garage, grime was coming out. Golden era, like, do you know what I mean?
The golden era,
when music was good and that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and that was, of course, our characters from the
pretty much, yeah.
But did you, when you first started DJing, obviously the first step is house parties, isn't it? Youth clubs and house parties.
House parties were when I was a bit older. Because I did play one party, which was sick. But I played... The thing is that...
Was it? Then, how did it go down, that first party?
Yeah, gotcha.
There's no by the sounds of it. I just want to hear more of this.
Yeah, oh, you do, boy. I had to get my mum to drop them off first. Nice. Nice. And not everyone DJ'd. It wasn't like everyone could do it. So I had to DJ with like 30 records for like 6 hours.
Sick.
Yeah.
Were you freaking out about your decks?
Yeah, big time. And then, yeah. And this other DJ came who was on radio and he saw my decks and they were like cheap ones. And he was like, oh, what? I don't know if I can mix on these.
So when you was DJing at home, did you like have like a fantasy of playing out sort of thing?
Yeah, every time I started to record a tape, because I'd record a tape and take it to school.
Yeah, yeah.
And that
yeah.
was always in my mind, the wall was a rave.
Yeah, 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 sick.
And I'd always do tapes and bring them to school, and like me and Steve would do tapes. And no one gave a shit, but you know.
No, but make up a story, you used to sell them for a fiver each, everyone loved your tapes.
Yeah, no, no one gave a shit. it was sick to walk in. That's what I did it for, to walk to school.
Yeah, sick. So you can listen back to your own shit. So in a way, it's very arrogant because you were your biggest fan.
Yeah, I still am.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I love my work.
So from there, what was your first, like, what's your first time playing out? Because, like, I know music was your first step before acting and that, right? So it went from getting decks to eventually, you know, playing out, I guess.
And I producing. Think it was like, I DJ'd with Steve, like we had like a school party in like a tennis club, and that was after Garage, and Steve had decks in his
when
room.
You got more into your hip hop.
Yeah. And then that was the first proper party that we played at. And that was sick, actually. And then it got really bad, you know, like doing favors for people, playing at wine bars, like, being young and like not really understanding that people don't want to hear like common Dilla tracks in like a party. They don't really care about your, they want Shana Paul and they want the bangers and didn't really get that. I was like, well, I'm gonna play Music Soul Child instrumentals.
Do you know what that is? That's bad clientele, mate. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
playing to the wrong people.
But now I think about it, I wouldn't want to listen to
That's headphone music, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't really get it with that. I thought it was like more expression of your personality rather than like just keeping people happy.
But there is an element of finding yourself when you're like, or with when it comes to like music, and because you want to show people this is what I'm about, innit? Like at
I think when you're young and like you're trying to prove to the world who you are, think you are, or some shit.
Yeah, it's true. I'm still searching.
Oh, I'm definitely still searching.
Yeah.
But like, kind of think that you know it all. You get booked, and they'd be like, the girl would be like, "You just play Rihanna."
Like, yeah, and you're like, oh my god,
I don't do that, mate.
Yeah, I don't care how much she's sold.
And also, like, to her, she must be like, he's not main staging somewhere. Like, this is Rowan's Bar, like opposite Brentford Leisure Centre for my 19th party. Like, that sort of vibe.
Obviously, DJing took like, I know from when I first met you, it wasn't really a DJing thing, it was a producer. When did production come into it, man?
I don't know the year, but probably like
otherwise this whole thing's
I need it time. Day and time.
No, I'm closing my eyes. Tell me the year, month.
Probably about 17, maybe 16. I'm going for 16. Yeah. It was a hot summer back.
What, making beats from 16?
I just chopped up Timberland and Neptunes and fucking didn't understand. I thought like RZA and people like that, all the sounds they'd played in, like all the samples, I was this is a hard gig.
Like RZA's a classical musician. He's a fucking jazz drummer. He's a fucking upright bassist. This guy can play it all.
Harry, my mate Harry, like everyone knows him. Harry was like, oh no, that's samples, and showed me and I was like, fucking hell. Literally, I think I'm onto something.
Yeah, but it's sick because it's that whole making things out of nothing, isn't it? Like, I guess. So it's like, oh, right. So if I can find all these different pieces, I can just piece them together kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's not as hard as
it is in the long run, but to get into, like,
it is proper talent to be able to actually, it's not initially.
So it's a proper talent to be able to make good music you know, sell and get to a number two. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
yeah,
you're,
I,
a good, You're very talented.
No, because I didn't do the majority of the work.
You're very talented. That's what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying that I surround myself with talented people who know what they're doing, and I take credit for it.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything to do with the music, to be fair.
No, but you people don't know about your freestyling skills, man.
Oh God, don't stop it. Come on.
Incredible for hours and hours. Come on.
And do you know what? That's a great segue. That brings me on to myself.
Let's go.
Do you want to ask where I started, maybe, perhaps?
So, how did it all start for you?
Oh, God. Still remember it like it was yesterday.
Take us.
Yeah, it was. No, to be honest, for me, it was like getting Snoop Dogg Doggy Style on tape and just emulating, doing impressions of Snoop Dogg, basically.
Would you freestyle in a Snoop Dogg voice?
Nah, not even. I would literally go through all the lyrics and just learn the lyrics and just do impressions of him. Like, just do the songs. Like, verbatim. Like, round, you know, like 11 years old around the playground and no one's really into that music or really listens to music. Do you know what I mean? Like, back then...
How did you find Doggy Style?
Oh, how did I find Doggy Style?
Album.
Yeah, the album. I went over to my sister's friend's house with my sister.
Your sister's older, right?
Yeah, my sister's 15
years old. I know this, but...
Yeah, sorry, my bad. My sister's 15 years older than me. Oh, yeah. I didn't go to my little sister's friend's house.
That's important.
Hang out there. Yeah.
That's very important. They were playing Snoop Dogg.
So there's these 8-year-old girls, right? And I'm just chilling there. They're playing Snoop Dogg.
Smoking fags, listen to Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, smoking fags. No, okay. I have an older sister. She took me around her friend's house, and her friend had a Snoop Dogg Doggy Style on tape just on the side. And so I borrowed it and just without telling anyone and never gave it back.
I stole it.
And then. I think I must have, like, my household wasn't really a musical household. Like, my dad's from Kurdistan, mum's from Czech Republic. It's just quite like a, but there was, the telly was always on. And I when I think back to it, I reckon it was probably stuff like MTV and The Box and shit like that that was just on in the background that was subconsciously there that I was sort
the
of recognised.
The Box was the thing, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I kind of just always feel like I remembered recognizing those type of tracks whenever I heard. So, like, when I took that back, I was like, right, I must have heard Doggy Style on The Box. You know what I mean? Like, What's My Name? Sorry, you know, like.
Yeah, I remember seeing that video.
Yeah. So, like, that's how I sort of connected with that. And then as time went on, I was just always emulating rappers, basically. And then from there, it was jungle and garage.
Yeah.
Just
and
like.
Bit of jazz drumming.
Oh, yes. Yeah. A bit of jazz drumming. I mean, I call it jazz drumming. It was like rock drumming, but offbeat. But which I guess is jazz drumming, isn't it? I got a drum kit. I used to basically, I suppose it started way before that then. I just didn't want to bore people. But I used to get like all the pots and pans out the cupboard and like every kid did, I guess, innit?
Like a busker.
I basically was learning to busk from the age of three, let's say. So I was always business minded. I was always business savvy, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. But now, and then I eventually I got like weird, obsessive and started getting all like cardboard boxes and making drum kits out of it. I mean, not with a fucking bass pedal and shit, but just kicking it. Just punching it with my head and then make a sound. No, I get like chopsticks and play on that. And then eventually I got like a shitty tired drum kit, like some 70s kit without the, you know, it's only got the top skin and not the bottom one.
Yeah, loud.
Yeah, exactly. Super loose and loud.
Your mum made me regret that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And yeah, around the time I had Doggy Style, I also got Nevermind as well, which is like Nirvana. So I used to like drum to that. And sort of rap along and shit is weird, like a weird little child. But like no one I knew was really into that stuff. I remember from an early age trying to get people into like, what if you use the guitar and you play this and I'll play, you know, like controlling weird little kid trying to force a band out of people that aren't really into music. Nothing's
I just
changed.
Imagine your mate Sam Daglish there with the guitar going, I'm not really into it, mate.
Yeah. Now, come on, man, sing as well. Be good.
Sing.
Give me the mic.
I'm going to spray you in the mouth with an aerosol can. Evil, talented little child.
I'm not going to get into that story, but big up, shout out Sam Dalglish, man. We're good friends now.
Yeah, I love Sam Dalglish.
Yeah, he's a G. But yeah, man, and like, I guess that's the super early. And then just to fast forward, I just started listening to like jungle and garage and just going to, the first sort of thing would be, again, just stealing Soul Solid's lyrics and doing them at parties, pretending I'm MC Romeo and stuff, because I just used to listen to Bare Delight FM.
Why do you think, like, because in parties when we were younger, like really young, like 13, 14, everyone wanted to MC, but like only guys liked it. Only guys thought it was cool.
That's true. What, do you know what though? I think, I don't know.
What do you think the allure is to that?
I remember early on though, like if you were MCing, like girls would like that, but not because you were MCing, but because you're part of, you're like, you're dressed a certain way, you're hanging around with. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm not saying confidence to do that.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess, you're right. The allure, like a lot of people used to DJ as well, but a lot more people would MC, wouldn't they? But that's because you could, if you didn't have the money to get decks, you could just MC. And most people would be biting other people's lyrics, innit? So they wouldn't even, definitely. All they have to do is learn patterns and like flows.
Yeah, there used to be a guy at the roller disco that would do...
Sounds like a fucking cool place.
Big time, Leisure Centre in Brentford. And he used to do... Skibber Shabba lyrics. And
I didn't know that
they were there. Yeah. And then one day when I was older, listening to a tape, I was like, fucking hell. He literally jacked all their bars.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was that guy, bruv. And also, I was that guy that was misinformed, because I remember that, like, before I was really into drum and bass, I just overheard a tape and I was trying to look cool my first day in like secondary school and that. And this, like, one of the guys next to me was like, what music are you into? And I was like, jungle, drum and bass. And he's like, obviously. All right. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, nice. And I was like, yeah. He's like, who's your favorite MC? And I was like, MC Blokey. I was in the school toilets and one of the older kids was smoking hash and he's listening to a DJ Brocky tape, but I heard that MC go Blokey and I was like, okay, that's MC Blokey, I'll run
Blokey and steal that one.
Yeah, and then he was like, don't you mean DJ Brocky, you fucking idiot? And I was like, yeah man,
yeah,
and
jokes.
I was joking, yeah, but yeah, so there's a lot of that. And then I remember my first time kind of playing out once I had all my lyrics was Pirate Radio.
Yeah.
Was Rice. Do you remember? You remember Rice, innit?
Rice Star, of course.
Yeah, Rice Star, X-Flow. Yeah, so he was like a younger kid at my school and was just like, he used to chat a lot of shit. Well, a lot of youngers would chat a lot of shit, wouldn't they, growing up? And then was like, there's a Pirate Radio station. Yeah, exactly, 100%. He was like, there's a Pirate Radio station not too far from here. And I was like, yeah, all right, cool. Not really listening. And then one day I went there and it was on a traveler site, like some
nice
spooky traveler site in a caravan. That was my first experience, man. I didn't even have a DJ. I just had to put on a hype junglist massive instrumental CD while I was MCing. Shouting out for some DJ. Out. Yeah. Old tight Dreamer on the decks.
And the guy comes in and just wants the money and you're killing
exactly.
it.
No, like, no one cares.
Right, bruv? Thinking that he's going to say something. Like, you're killing it, man. Like, you got the... Yeah.
Like, the best thing that ever happened was getting a text from one of the olders, you know, like one of the old geezers and that, like I'm locked in. Like, and I think his name was Sniper. his name was Sniper at the time. And he was like, big ups from Sniper. I was like, oh, fuck, yes. Like, they're all locked in.
Yeah. Him and 20 mates locked in, listening to me,
sharing a hash suit. But
going to the bar, I've been like, oh, I just played at radio. That's why I've done that. And then he was like, what radio? I was like, Reload FM. Like, well, I don't think I've heard of it.
Oh, God, you will soon. You will soon.
I'm on it. Playing out in a few years, so.
Yeah, in a few years. Yeah. Keep your eye out in a few years. You'll probably see my name on a flyer. See you later.
Yeah. All
slapping him on his back. Who was that guy?
I don't know. He's fucking delusional.
From that, not to drag it on, but I just ended up doing fuck all, really. You know this, innit? Like, this is kind of when we met. I got into that. I got out of my area because my area is just like, it's like in the middle of nowhere, like that Greater London, Southwest, Nothing was going
Brentford's
on there.
A bit like that as well. There's
that's
there's
why we connected. That's why it felt, yeah, exactly. Like, that's why people just do nothing's based in a place like Brentford. It's like, you're still, like Chesington's the same thing. Like, you're still 20 minutes away, do you know what I mean? Like, from Central on a train or whatever, but
yeah.
No one's...
Yeah, it's true.
No one's doing anything.
Even,
really.
Like, people that I know now, they never go into London. Like,
that's
it's
what I'm
just
saying, yeah.
Stay in that radius. And like,
and it's to no fault of their own or ours at the time, because it was, well, for me, I mean, you were different. Like, to me, coming over to you lot, it, like, there was like, oh, I'm stepping out of, do you know what I mean? Stepping out of where I'm from, because no one was really on doing, being proactive or doing anything creative where I was from, just because they weren't really on that.
I think...
I'm talking about after the DJ and MC era, you know, when it got to, when you all got to like 21 or whatever, and everyone started doing their own thing and that.
I think for me, like, because my school was near Shepherd's Bush, like it kind of then goes into like Ladbroke Grove,
exactly.
Central. Yeah. So like, if you're from there, that's not too far.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and you're west, people, that is, you know what I mean? Like, it's there for you. It's on your doorstep.
Yeah, people would venture into Central London. And also my dad worked in Soho. So
like,
I was very familiar with
in one of the sex shops. I remember you saying,
Yeah. He
famously started the Soho sex district.
Yeah.
With leather tassels around his nipples. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They come into your room, didn't they?
Cowboy boots on. Yeah. Used to put his pubes in a ponytail because he didn't. Used to do a shape up back then.
Yeah, it was really weird. Yeah. But
no,
I guess it was very forward thinking at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, he still is. Still, he's moved on now to conspiracy theories, but
But it's always a niche.
Yeah, sort of wanks over UFO footage now, which is cool.
So, like, when me and you met Hugo, we'd it's because I had decided to venture out and go to college. And I met some cool people there, man, that were more on a sort of creative tip. They were rapping, they were like producing music. I'd never seen any of that, do you know what I mean? Like, I was just me on my own freestyling in my room before, like. And then one of them, shout out First and Last, Aziz, Mansour, like, it was them lot that took me to your house, and that was the first time I met you, innit? 12 years ago now.
We're doing sort of mixtape recording. That was sort of what I was doing for a long time. That taught me a lot.
Like, Hugo was just in his room just making beats on an MPC, hip-hop beats.
And recording, just like engineering, but probably quite badly. But
chuck that onto your list of skills, don't it's not just
engineer, you know. But
I remember saying to you, because the prospect of us having to get a normal job was just non-existent. Like, it just
wasn't.
I remember
you having a meltdown in the car one time.
Yeah, I remember saying to you, like, bro, like, if you make it and I don't, I beg you, can I just be like a wire fiddler or something in your studio or something?
Yeah, I remember you sort of screaming in the car once, saying, "I'm going to have to go back to a call center." I was like,
I think that was after the pilot.
Yeah, hold tight a little bit.
I've got to go back to a call center.
I'm going to have to do it.
I remember saying that after every series, actually.
I remember getting a job in that charity one you worked at in Kingston.
Oh, yeah, call center, yeah.
Yeah, and I went in for the training and I had a music manager at the time. And he texted me and was like, "Yeah, your remix." I did a remix of a Wiley tune. He was like, "It's gone to One Extra," and I was like, "You know what? Fuck this! I'm a music producer," and not realizing that I won't get paid for it because I just did a remix.
That's fine. You don't need money. I've got a tune out. I don't need a job. Yeah.
And it did pay me like £300, which is sick
at the time. That's banging, isn't it?
I was like a millionaire for like a week. And then I spent it all.
And I should say that me and Hugo, Asim, got a job at a call center together. Asim Chowdhury, Buddy G. We got a job.
I used to live with him. Well, I did more than that, but there was a time when
You did more than live with him.
Yeah.
What else did you do with him, mate?
I caught him wanking.
That's as long as, I mean, not as long, you can do what you want, but you weren't, you know, That wasn't because you want it. It was just happened, right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't choose to. I wouldn't really. It wasn't enjoyable.
Up to you, though. Just
Yeah. I would never leave my mind.
No, yeah. It's just burnt in.
Yeah.
So, when we met, that's where we met Dan, innit?
Yeah.
I forget that. I feel like we've known Dan the whole time. So we met Decoy, Daniel Sylvester, a.k.a. Decoy. We met him at that call center. And we all fell in with each other through a love of smoking weed, really, innit?
Yeah, we used to get fucking absolutely blazed on every break, a whole fat truncheon each. And we'd go back into the call center, couldn't even see, and try and get sales, basically.
Yeah.
And then got bored and would fuck around.
Yeah. It was, I feel like it was my second best job ever, apart from this.
Yeah, the job was horrible, but the people, well, Dan and some of the people that you meet there are proper
Fatty as well, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam Hemingway.
Such a sick spot. That we used to go and blaze, stay the night. You would freestyle for literally eight hours straight.
And you guys would clap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was sick, man. It was a good time.
Yeah, it's good, man. But that was like our first introduction maybe into acting in a sense, because that's where we did loads of prank calls. We used to take it off record and just call people up and do voices, innit?
Yeah, you took to the point where you would call in.
I'd call in if I was working, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely training.
Yeah, definitely.
Of some sort of like it was performance training skill.
Yeah, 100%.
But it was fun, man. But when I met you, similar to, not your total opposite to Steve, but you know that feeling of where you get like this, there's something here that's special in a non-erotic way.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter if it is.
Though. And with Asim as well, man, like
100%.
I always felt that nothing was ever forced and it was just sort of like you would all get weird shit. Like humor straight away, and also fascination for weird sort of documentaries or like spotting the subtle weird things that people would do.
Yeah, 100%, man. I think that only happens like a few times in life. Like I've only ever had that with like my best mate Kieran, that you know, that he's like, you know, he's like a best friend to you too as well. Like because when I first met you, even though I wasn't raised with you, that first time, literally, you can tell in it the first time you both open your mouths and you both like crease it, saying. You're just like, sick, this guy. And it is a little bit arrogant in a way because it's like, this guy gets my sense of humor and we have the same sense of humor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not like you know, because at that time, and even now, you don't know that you're really funny. Like, it's just what you like.
Exactly, like,
these guys will share a similar thing. But also their own things.
A lot of people don't think we're funny. Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
I'm sure they do.
It's just like what you're into, isn't it? And I kind of respected that about, there's a slightly, and I think we carried that on when we started making people see nothing, like a slight, like, don't give a fuck attitude about what you find funny and whether people find you funny. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't like a desperateness to it.
Yeah. No, definitely. I feel you get that from music as well.
Just creativity in general.
Or you just don't, forcing people to listen to your, like when you see people forcing them or forcing you to listen to something, it's just like not natural.
It's tough because we live in an era where everyone is pushing everything so hard and just like really going for it. But like, which is a good thing as well, because I think, especially me and you, we're not really like that. We like to maybe let things play out a bit more organically, but then sometimes shit can just go past you if you do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely a balance to it, but like there wasn't really social media when we started as well.
Yeah,
like YouTube wasn't what it is now.
Like even promoting yourself, like I mean, I probably do it more than you, I post more than you, but I still have that feeling in the back of my head that I feel a bit funny about it. And I know you do as well, because we're not really from that generation, innit?
Yeah, just like forcing people to I get conflicted sometimes whether to let and also don't think anyone gives a shit, but to let people into my mundane life, or like, because then I just think, oh, you know what, I'm just going to post sick shit that I'm doing, and that doesn't happen that much, so can't really
hey man, that's why I agreed to do this podcast for you.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And I saw your four weddings in it. Oh, no, what's it?
It's basically the same thing. Love, wedding, repeat.
Yeah, I did like it, man. I really did. Like, I'm not just saying it because
you're Thank you, bro.
I thought you were good at it.
Hey, guys, it's Ron here. I've been feeling a little bit anxious recently, but I'm hoping to get over it. So I'm just having a little listen to this podcast to calm me down right now. Okay, see y'all later.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, right about now you are locked into the legendary Chat and Shit podcast, lad.
Do you know what? We haven't actually spoke about how you've dealt with the lockdown at all. Like, how have you found it? You've got a, you're in a slightly different situation to mine, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm in prison. No, I've got a child who's one.
Yeah.
So it's on the go. It's non-stop.
Is it more tricky having a kid on lockdown? Because I've just been chilling, innit?
I don't think so. I think it gets you through the day, actually. Like,
so it gives you stuff to do.
It goes quick because they have so many little things that they have to do, like eat and nap and walk, like go out on walks, and you have to keep them entertained. So,
are you in charge of training him to do this? Walking?
Yeah, I do take a bulk of that.
You're essentially a child trainer?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah,
like a weird football coach.
Yeah. To train him to speak, when is that coming?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure the time scale of these things.
It's a lot of training, isn't it? A lot of training.
Cool. Should have maybe got a dog instead. But he's here now.
Yeah, that's it. Cool. So have you had much time to, doing that and then our sort of lives, there's a lot of work, a lot of meetings, a lot of travelling around. Have you had time to just like watch more shit?
I don't read.
Nah.
I don't have a good attention span. I've watched like obviously Tiger King.
Yeah, bruv. I literally only just watched that the other day, man. It's insane.
It's so good, man. It's mad because if you think before streaming, like something like that wouldn't necessarily be on such a big platform. It'd be like That's a true. Weird Channel 4 documentary that not everyone's seen.
Like a one-off that you've got a torrent
Still do that. But yeah, no, it's fucking amazing, man. I loved it. I had edibles and watched it.
Did you? Bruv, the music video bits are the best.
It's so good, man. What else have I watched? I watched a lot of Place in the Sun.
What a show.
Have you actually?
Yeah.
Because we're meant to go away and we can't. And she was like,
let's just watch
Place in the Sun. Is that? Yeah, it's kind of close, I guess.
Okay. What else is sick? Tiger King's amazing. Oh, Righteous Gemstones.
Yes, that's really good. But I gave up on the last episode. I don't know why.
Did you?
Yeah, I then, will get back
into
it.
Off or saving?
I was saving it when we were in Japan, and then I just forgot.
Yeah,
about
I hear
it.
That. Yeah, yeah.
I've been watched this thing called... again, man. Oh, yeah, sick. I did that this year. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I've been reading. I've got into a book. Yeah, yeah. Because you know me, I'm an avid reader. I don't know if you've seen the books in the background.
Yeah, there's about 9 there, yeah.
Most of them are Lonely Planet guides.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're not having the internet.
Yeah, I like to have the hard copies as well.
Oh, right. But, it's quite 70s, sort of.
I've been reading Young Team, The Young Team. Check that though, bruv. Look at that. The Harlem Goodies. Yeah, do you remember? Yeah. So for anyone that's just listening, I saw it on someone's Instagram. I saw the cover. It's got loads of utes on it with tracky bottoms and the old Harlem hoodies and duffer hoodies, which reminded me of that sort of 03, 04
era. Yeah, duffer hoodies, sort of thing.
I didn't clock, yeah, that it's a Scottish book and it's written like phonetically in Scottish. So I'm going to read you in Scottish. You know what I'm talking about. In the Scottish like regional accent, like Glaswegian accent. I'm going to read you a bit and you've got to tell me what I said, yeah?
Yeah.
Mon fuck it. Let's go and get these fucking hangs drunk. Should I say it again?
Yeah.
Mon fuck it. Let's go and get these fucking hangs drunk.
So come on, fuck it. Let's go and get these hens drunk.
Things.
Oh.
Things drunk. Hens drunk. Yeah, spot on though. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. That's a sick one. Yeah. They're pretty cool chicks hens up there. So.
Yeah, I swear they do.
Yeah, that's spot on though, man. So yeah, so I've been learning Glaswegian.
Scottish.
Yeah, sort of vibes.
To read it.
Yeah, to read it. Pretty much takes me fucking ages. But it's sick. It's a sick book. Shout out Graham Armstrong. The book's called The Young Team. Definitely recommend it. All right. I guess the story behind People to Do Nothing, just to fast forward, is you're friends with Steve, Asim. I met you. I met them through you. Me and Hugo had this idea from just filming each other in his room on camera phones, really, and fucking around.
And we like Nokias as well.
Yeah, old school. And we used to watch this documentary. We used to watch documentaries, a lot of documentaries, innit? The Office, Partridge, Peep Show, and a lot of documentaries.
Yeah, innit? And obviously People Just Do Nothing was inspired by a documentary. And we just were obsessed with it. Like, it's almost like it was...
It's Tower Block Dreams.
Yeah, and it was like, we couldn't get enough of it, basically. Yeah.
Because we'd done Pirate Radio in our sort of separate past lives, it just reminded us of all the characters that, you know, we experienced, exactly. And so that paired with The Office... Obviously, I mean, it's the elephant.
I thought those guys, like, if I was in school, I would have thought those guys were sick, like, really cool.
Yeah.
That's what I want to be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it was just amazing, like, awkward moments, just like The Office in that real documentary. And those two things paired together just inspired us to start thinking.
I just remembered something quite a joke. I asked my gran when I was at school for a record bag, yeah. And my mum was like, yeah, she'll get you one. And then. For my birthday, she got me a leather briefcase with I didn't wear it to school.
Bruv, that reminds me. I beg you to tell the story about the first time you went to Fabric.
Oh.
And you wore a suit.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining you had this, the leather record bag.
So me, Steve, and this random dude called Greg, who was...
He started a chain recently, years later, didn't he? Greg's.
Yeah. Sort of guy from Leeds. We went to go to like this place in Central called Buzz Bar, that would let anyone in. But like we guaranteed entry was wearing a suit because you feel like you look really old. And then it was dead in there. So we decided
just
to go.
Just you, Steve, and that matey standing in this empty bar in Central in suits.
Yeah, basically.
What, like 17 or 18 or what?
Yeah, like, yeah, 16, 17.
16, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then one of us was like, let's go Fabric. So we basically headed to Fabric and, like, we got it. We were in the queue. Like, everyone's a super casual. Evisu's on, like, of the time, normal clothing.
Yeah,
course. And then we got in, and just as we got through the door, we saw all the older people from our school, like in tracksuits and shit. And we're just in these suits. Like, I remember taking my suit jacket off, yeah, and stuffing it somewhere and leaving it.
So you just get these bootcut suit trousers and an untucked shirt. You're like, yeah. Boys, why are you
Rebel
in school
loafers
uniform?
On and shit. Yeah.
People from your school thinking you're in a school uniform still. Yeah. Why have what you? The... Do you wear like, that on the weekend?
Why are you here in that? So...
Cool. I'm working. I'm on a work experience fabric.
What, fabric.
Yeah. Why are you in a yeah. Yeah. I'm shadowing one of the bouncers for tonight because
guaranteed entry though.
Yeah, that's standard. That's, if any youngers out there, 16, 17, get yourself a nice little square cut suit, you're guaranteed entry.
If you need to be of a certain age to get into a festival, just get a suit.
Festival? Yeah, sick. Yeah, we ended up with this sort of idea kind of grew organically of people to see nothing. We spoke to Steve about it. And then we kind of made this little plan to film a little roughly planned sketch of these characters with our mate Ben Murray. Ben Murray, I think, did Studio Time, didn't he? That first thing we did in your room.
Yeah, so when we were in Thailand, that's where you met Steve. We had a lot of travel time, like on coaches and trains and shit. So that's where the kind of idea developed. And then when we got back, Steve sorted Ben to come round. Yeah. And that's where it really... It was so unplanned.
And Asim Chowdhury Jabari G was the cameraman that early on, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was for the first one.
Or maybe at least the second one. The first one was kind of like a test. Because I mean, it wasn't really proper. And then the second one, I think, is the one we started putting on YouTube, which was officially the first episode. I mean, this is such interesting fucking shit for everyone to listen to. But the point is that we all chipped in together. Then Jabari came in at a later episode because it was one of the characters that you and Asim used to do on Prank Calls, right?
Yeah, this is a name really that we both came up with and we used to do like, it wasn't even Indian sometimes, it was like Mexican and shit. But like
just whatever accent came out.
Prank Calls, yeah. And then Asim was doing a mixtape and then that he used the pranks. Yeah. I don't even think the mixtape ever came out. But
we should also say that Asim was a rapper as well at the same time, and that's how you two... A bit way before that, you two got together through music. Right?
Yeah. He came around mine and rapped on a tune. But instantly as well, same vibe with him. Like, it was just easy. And he was funny. Yeah.
Are we talking about Asim Chowdhury, the one that's got that also has done a podcast, copied our
idea?
The
other fat guy with a podcast like you, yeah.
Yeah. The one that copied our idea, but did the podcast first.
Yeah, because he can afford to just do it like that.
People give
a shit about him.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's cute that he's doing like a sort of polished version, putting a lot of effort in. Not really my bag, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, with one of the best comedy writers of all time on his first episode, which is sick.
Yeah, who have we got? Just me and you.
Yeah, all we can afford.
No, shout out Asim, man. Check out his podcast, What a Sad Little Life. We're not sour at all, are we?
No, not one bit.
Best of luck.
Yes. Mm.
Best of luck thereof, Colonel
Chowdhury.
I actually
haven't listened to it yet, but I'm planning to. But
all right, because I'm joking. You're actually a snake.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so we've sort of skirted around it, but how did you feel the first time? Obviously, we started out on YouTube and then ended up doing a pilot with the BBC after a few years of being on the YouTube. How did you feel when it was first going to go out? I remember you saying to me that... I remember you saying to me, bruv, shit's going to change after tomorrow, boy. You better get ready. And I remember just lying there in bed with complete anxiety, heart pounding, and thinking to myself, oh, because I wear a cap on a TV show, maybe I won't wear a cap in real life because people won't recognise me. And literally no one saw it and nothing changed.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
I only had one thing that happened to me when I went into... a restaurant, and these like lads looked over and went, "Oh, that's Beats," and I was like,
"Is it?" And you were like,
"Beaming,
that's it. We made it." Yes. Yeah.
Oh, at least someone watched it. Yeah, it was a bit of a. It's weird because I think it's a generational thing. Maybe the older generation had five channels, and if you were on that, you were popping. Not that I want to be Like
no, of course, but it was on that crossover period, wasn't it, where like people were still watching TV, but then the younger generation were watching things online on iPlayer. Yeah. And it was kind of like, yeah.
And that was obviously aimed at them. So it was like,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's a lot of a slow building process, I think, unless you have like a viral like meme or like a bit of content that just skyrockets you. You know
yeah, 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 100%.
But now that's factored into things. That's
exactly.
Like,
it's all about like self promotion and making different bits and posting.
They have a whole department now for that stuff.
Yeah, it's true, man. Then it became like a waiting game, didn't it? Because it would be pretty much about a year until we'd been told we'd been commissioned for another series in between every series up until series three.
Yeah.
Which what happened on series three? I'm trying to think. Did we win some sort of award in series three? I'm just trying to think.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, what was the award name? It wasn't the Royal Television Society, was it? Because we did win one of those as well, didn't we?
We did win one of those, yeah.
So what was the other one? Was it?
BAFTA,
that's it.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah. I was trying to think, yeah.
Yeah, no, I hate talking about it. That's why I completely blocked out my mind.
Yeah, I forget. You can keep the props. I don't want them.
Yeah. Now we're at the present day of our journey. How do you feel about how far it's all come, man?
Yeah, man, it's amazing. We've done some really fucking mad like stuff that a lot of people will never get to do, and that's not a dig, that's just like pinch yourself moments.
Yeah, 100% man.
But also, when you've done something like our show, you kind of naturally put pressure on yourself to think what's next.
Of course, yeah.
That's the kind of bit that's like we do have things that are coming out.
I think what like it's in our sort of industry, and anyone that's a creative, I guess, will understand that feeling of like trying to balance loads of different. What do you call it? Spinning spoons.
Spinning plates.
Spinning plates. Spinning spoon for, I don't know, something, you dickhead. Yes, okay.
This dick don't fuck spinning. Me, okay? Too
please
many
do, not, do not fuck for me, okay? Don't make me shut up. So like, yeah. Sorry, man. I speak three languages, so sometimes I forget any of them at any given time. What's your excuse?
No, I speak English badly.
Well, actually, you speak... Oh, fucking hell, no, you speak... You speak English.
Yeah.
You speak Liverpool really well.
Yeah.
Because that's slightly different from classic English, isn't it? Do you want to give him a little go?
Curtains. That's just a taster.
Now, that's good, man. That's taster. It. What about your mate? What about Eric?
Eric.
Spot on. So that's all you need, really, isn't it?
Where's my Eric? Oh, wait, hold on. My favourite footballer is Eric Cantona.
Fucking hell, spot on, man. Christ, that's it. I mean, I pride myself on one of the best Liverpudlian accents, but I'm not going to go into what?
No, well, don't feel you have to.
No, I'm not going to, but why did you say, that's just as good as you. I'm really good at it.
Go on.
See you fucking dirty little scrubber.
Dirty scrubber. Yeah, I've heard that scrubber. So many times.
Yeah, but so what? It's good. It's not, and I love the Liverpool accent. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm paying homage to it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm mocking it. No. Oh, do you know what else you're good at though? Birmingham. I can't do that.
Oisey. Check out the flake. It's Oisey.
Fucking hell.
And that's a coke dealer character I'm working on.
Sick.
I don't know why that came into my head. It's from a video someone sent me.
No, I like that, man. Shout out Oisey.
Oisey, look.
Shout out to 0121 crew, man. I remember one time I was battered off my mind at a stage in Manchester. And I was like, 0121! And you're like, it's 0161, man. I was like, ah, fuck. Just because we did Birmingham yesterday, it's confusing, isn't it?
I remember we did three shows in a row and we ended at some mad uni. I don't even know where. And it was the rave was done. And the sound man had locked the sound off, but the monitors on stage are on, and you were going mental on the mic over drum and bass. And then you kicked a speaker over and walked off stage. It was like aggressively,
you
put your foot on the side of it and it fell over and you walked in and like, fuck this and done, man.
I remember one time I put my hand in the air. I went, Brighton, and we're in Leeds. Yeah. And, lucky everyone's just spangled out their heads, isn't it? They don't really know what you're saying.
Yeah,
so that's true. How we get away with it, pretending that we're MCing.
Yeah, I remember when you there's a massive build-up for a tune. And you were like, hold on, I need to say something. And then Steve took the music down and he just want to go, I just want to say, I'm fucking sick, mate. And then you're like, no, put the tunes back on.
And I went like this. I went, I'm fucking sick, mate. And in my mind, I was wrecked. Like, they'll get the joke. They'll probably all cheer. And it was pure silence. Like, who is this arrogant, drunk, fat freak?
That was so sick, though.
Yeah, it's sick, man. Good times. But so I guess like maybe we should get to the last part of the show, which I, along with you, like to call the three questions.
Three questions.
Exactly.
I took the baritone on it. So.
Yeah, nice. I like that.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah.
What is the worst graffiti tag you've ever had?
Oh, that's a sick question. Oh, mine is shit. Okay, the worst graffiti tag I ever had was was Mystic. Mystic.
How did you spell it?
Mystik.
Nice. And still the same question. Did you ever have an alternative rap name?
Yeah, I did, but it was slightly later in life. It was Sipa, aka Black Lungs.
Oh, right, yeah, of course.
Yeah, Blazing.
That's not bad.
Alter Ego that never had any other lyrics, because I famously only had one bar, didn't I?
Yeah. I love chilling, which I could puff bud for a living.
Exactly, that's how it started.
Yeah, it was on like 8 of my tunes. It was good, though.
Should I hit you back with a question now?
Yeah, hit me.
What is your biggest flaw?
Ooh. Really hard because I'm so perfect.
I know that this is a trick question.
Probably laziness, I'd say.
Yeah,
I'm quite lazy, and
I'd have to agree.
Putting things off till the last minute,
procrastination.
I've never learned my lesson.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with a wild one because I was thinking this last night. Yeah. Okay, if you could go to the airport now and get flights and hotel paid for, so it's all
free.
Where would you go and who would you take?
That's a fucking sick question, especially under lockdown, man, because no one can go anywhere.
Because I'm meant to be in Mauritius right now.
Oh, man, you are living it up.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. I'm at home.
Well, I mean, you know, as in...
Yeah. As soon as this lift's gone, I'm fucking...
Yeah. Do you know what? I know where I'd go. I'd go... I was meant to take... Because I was meant to do it as well, same as you. It's my girl's birthday, and I was meant to take her to an island in Greece with like a really nice hotel, and I was going to treat her and take her away, and that ain't going to happen now.
Santorini, what are we looking at?
Yeah, like one of the islands near there, man. I don't want to give away my secret islands. Paparazzi and shit.
On a holiday. Really care about you being there.
Yeah, alright, then I've got another one.
Shoot,
what is the license plate on your car?
I've got it in my phone.
No, what
car? Hey, come on.
Oh, hello. Fucking hell. Here's another one. What is the quality you love most about yourself?
God.
Knowing you, this will be harder for you to answer than the floor one.
Yeah, it is.
You're so humble.
Yeah, sometimes.
is there too many to choose from?
Yeah, that's the problem. No, I actually don't know.
I knew it. I knew you wouldn't be able to answer this because you never ever show off about anything seriously.
I don't know. That's really hard. What do I like most about myself?
Come on, man. There's a lot to pick from. Apart from the, obviously, there's a lot of bad things like the rapid weight gain.
Yeah. My fucking crash diet. The most like. I don't know. That's really hard.
Surely it's got to be your the one thing that I find with you gets you through a lot of things and gets you through life is your sense of humour.
Yeah,
because it helps you cut through serious things. That's what I'd say about you. But that's not. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, what's your favourite sandwich?
Oh, that's a sick question.
And I'm asking you this because you genuinely asked everyone in one sitting when you were in the makeup chair in Japan. Everyone.
Can it be top three sandwiches?
Yeah.
I can relax now. All right, then, cool. So, number one, a Vietnamese banh mi. And then I'd say second one is probably a lamb shawarma.
That counts. It's a wrap.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it doesn't count then.
Yeah, no, it does.
No, it does. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then the last one would be like a chicken and avocado and tomato hot sauce, mayonnaise, kind of, you know, like those American sandwiches vibes.
Okay.
So that's a strong selecki, isn't it?
That is good. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I've got a last one. Maybe I'll ask two questions as well and you can pick, yeah?
Yeah.
Favourite thing you own or favourite scene we filmed together?
I do scene because I own loads of shit and it
all, yeah.
It's all material.
You're a spiritual man. Physical means nothing.
I remember when we were filming at Beats's house and you and Steve were pretending to be fucked on pills. That was amazing.
Oh my days. Yeah, I remember. What, knocking on the window?
Yeah, and then walking in and then coming into the living room.
When I was with the Cold FM.
Yeah.
Telling you, coming to tell you about Cold FM. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. All right, should we leave it on that note then?
Yeah.
All right, sweet.
Let's do that.
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
Oh god, that was lovely, wasn't it? Lovely.
That was good.
Chat.
That was quite fun. Yeah.
Just trying to think. We got any other guests lined up for?
This is
complete natural here. It's just just riffing.
This was just literally the intro to what is going to become a beast
of what's coming up.
World.
Oh god, yeah.
It's not just us the whole time. There are other guests.
Is it fuck, mate?
Yeah. Who have we got coming up? Just out of curiosity.
Oh no, I'm just off the top of my head. I'm just thinking, Ocean Wisdom.
Oh, yeah. God, one of the best fast flows in the world.
Exactly. Charlie Cooper.
Oh, this country is in lockdown.
Oh, very nice, yeah.
Like that.
Tim Key.
Oh, come on.
One of the best comedy poets this world has ever known.
Yeah, yeah.
/ Psychic Simon. So,
yes.
And last but not least, our other best mate, Tom Davis.
Oh, not the King Gary, is it?
Oh, God. It's not the guy, the brains behind Murder and Successful, along with his mate
James. BAFTA award-winning comedian.
Yeah, just like us.
Yeah. So, and so's Charlie Cooper as well. So.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. That's just the tip of the iceberg, though, Hugo, mate. I'm looking to get more guests on here.
Yeah, that's just
more
the taster.
The pipeline. Oh, that's just the taster.
Yeah.
Anyway, see you later.
Cool, man. See you in a bit. We done?
Bye.
All right, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.